Good evening. It is 5 p.m. on Thursday, June 25th, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and this is Kingston Currents, your weekly roundup of the latest limestone local news. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Coming up in today's episode, a motion from City Council's last meeting officially renaming Strathcona Park's Indian Road after years of debate. And some messages directly from the City of Kingston this week, including your guide to Canada Day in Kingston. How the city is celebrating the FIFA World Cup, welcoming Kingston Fire and Rescue's new deputy chief, and the launch of the unique Fines for Food pilot. We'll also run through your weather and traffic report for this upcoming weekend and a few events to keep on your radar from CFRC's events calendar. Without further delay, let's dive in. After years of debate, Indian Road has a new name. At Tuesday's meeting, Council voted 8-5 to officially rename Indian Road as Aki Road. The decision follows a process launched in June 2025. When Council voted 7-3 to begin consultations to choose a new name after concerns were raised that the term Indian is outdated and derogatory. Located in Strathcona Park neighborhood, Indian Road was named in the 1950s, along with Mohawk Place, Algonquin Terrace, and Arrowhead Place, in reference to the Indigenous history of the region. The level of resident support has remained a point of contention throughout the process. Unofficial door-to-door canvasses conducted by councillors over the years have produced differing results. According to the staff report, 46 residents responded to the final shortlist survey. While 27 residents selected none of the above, Aki received the most support among the proposed names, receiving 14 votes and ultimately becoming staff's recommended option. Before council debated the motion, members heard from residents on both sides of the issue.
For me, Indian Road is where I was raised. My mother's lived there for 62 years. It's part of her life. It's part of her legacy. I feel like it's being erased. The outcome was fixed before the consultation began.
Honoring First Nations in Strathcona Park. This is precisely what the initiative is all about. And it seems to have gotten a little lost tonight. And in the last few days of manipulated data, media drama. Yes, it will take time for some, but I think we will all be very proud of our new street name. It appropriately honors Indigenous people.
Kingston Native Center and Language Nest Executive Director Brandon Miracle also urged Council to support the renaming.
Keeping Indian and Indian Road asks Indigenous people in Kingston to continue seeing this history reflected on a public street name in an official capacity within the city of Kingston. As though the harm attached to this word, Indian, is less important than the inconvenience of change. Council has the opportunity this evening to choose language that better reflects the community that I know and that I believe that Kingston wants to be.
When the matter came before Council, Strathcona Councillor Jeff McLaren brought the option not to move forward with the change to the floor.
If you've ever had a sentimental value to something that is in your past, then you can feel what people are about to lose. There are a lot of people on the street who have built their lives at this, on this street, and we are thinking of taking that away from them.
Councillor Connie Glenn also opposed the change due to the initial consultation process, or lack thereof.
We talk a lot about good process. We talk a lot about good governance. We did not demonstrate that. We talk about evidence, and what we got were individual members of council, no offense, going out and doing this. This was not a process that was set in motion and done in a way that we do most processes. I've heard both sides of this. We've heard that some people are upset. We've heard some people don't want to change. We've heard some people would like a change. But overwhelmingly, what I've heard is that this has become something that we didn't do in a way that was appropriate. So I'm not going to force a change when we haven't done the proper process.
Councillor Lisa Osanek also noted the burden for residents to update addresses and personal records.
That's a lot of extra work for all the residents on the street now with the new street name, and I feel badly about that.
Others, like Councillors Brandon Tozo and Gregory Ridge, argued that despite those concerns, it was time for the city to move forward with the change.
I think we should change the name of the road. I think it's fairly clear from some of the delegations and just from where the trends are going in other cities that this is a derogatory and offensive name. I think the sooner we can get the process started of renaming this, the better.
The word Indian has been deemed derogatory for a very long time. I also want to say I empathize with the residents and hear their concerns and frustrations, which were very clearly expressed during the city's consultation process. And that empathy is part of the reason that, you know, we on the original motion and recommendations from staff that we're including goodwill payments, because we understand that this is a burden and an imposition onto the residents. And I don't think that we should be pretending otherwise, because that would be disrespectful. We're also setting up clinics to assist with changing identification, paid mail forwarding for a year, and a plaque recognizing the history of the neighborhood. The place is not changing. The neighborhood is not changing. It is the name that is changing.
Council ultimately voted 8-5 in favor of the renaming package. The approved plan also includes $250 in compensation for each residential unit on Indian Road, new street and park signage, and a commemorative plaque recognizing the neighborhood's history, the significance of the new names, and the city's commitment to reconciliation. Staff have been directed to complete the renaming process by the first quarter of 2027. During that time, residents will receive support updating their addresses, including a city-produced checklist, dedicated Service Ontario assistance, and 1 year of free mail forwarding through Canada Post.
Getting into some messages directly from the city this week, know before you go how to have the best time at Canada Celebrates the FIFA World Cup 2026. Heading to downtown Kingston for Canada Celebrates the FIFA World Cup 2026 event on Saturday, June 27th? There's a lot happening in downtown Kingston on June 27th. Residents and visitors are advised to plan ahead and consider using public transit. Here are some tips once again directly from the City of Kingston for making the most of your experience on June 27th. Canada Celebrates takes place in Springer Market Square from 1:30 to 9:30 p.m. Canada Celebrates is a rain or shine event, so keep an eye on the weather forecast and bring everything you need for a day outside, including hats, umbrellas, sunscreen, and water bottles. The city encourages residents and visitors to take public transit where possible. Plan your route using the Kingston Transit Trip Planner. Springer Market Square is about 7 minutes away from the downtown bus transfer station on foot. There are also a number of park and ride locations throughout the city that allow you to park for free before hopping on a bus. Standard bus fare is $3.50 per person over 14 years of age and must be exact change. Children under 14 ride for free. If you're driving, the city has parking lots and garages downtown within walking distance to Springer Market Square. Learn more about special event parking, including walking times and rates in municipal parking lots, on the city's website. A limited number of accessible parking spaces will be available on a first-come, first-served basis on Clarendon Street between King Street and Wellington Street. An accessible event drop-off and pickup area will also be on Clarendon Street between Ontario and King Street. Check municipal511.ca to stay up to date on road closures. During this event, the following streets will be made pedestrian-only, except for emergency vehicles: Market Street, Brock Street from Ontario to Wellington Street, and King Street from Princess Street to Clarendon Street. The Ontario Brock parking lot will host the Kingston Public Market on Saturday and will not be available for parking before 6:30 p.m. Stop by the market before you visit Canada Celebrates and support local businesses. For more details about Canada Celebrates, including places to stay, eat, and visit, you can head to visitkingston.ca. Once again, that was a message directly from the city on FIFA World Cup celebrations this weekend. Looking ahead to another upcoming celebration, your guide to Canada Day in Kingston, free celebrations, and holiday service information. The City of Kingston wishes all residents a safe and happy upcoming Canada Day and extends special thanks to the people who will be working to keep our community running. Starting with the free Canada Day celebration in downtown, this Canada Day, join the city for the coolest party in Kingston. The city will host a free event at Confederation Park and Springer Market Square from 12 to 10 p.m., featuring live music, arts and cultural programming, food vendors, a kids zone, and more. The Market Wing Cultural Space at City Hall will also be open 12 to 6 p.m. on Canada Day, featuring the new Music from Miles Around free exhibition sponsored by Empire Life. Starting at 7 p.m., enjoy a free concert on the main stage in Springer Market Square sponsored by WFCU, featuring Kingston-based DJ Dina and headlining act Soul Sublime. To learn more about what's on this July 1st and how to make the most of the day, visit the city's Canada Day event page. Keep yourself, your family, and your neighbors safe. Leave the fireworks to the pros. The city, in partnership with Kingston Fire and Rescue, encourages all community members to leave the fireworks show to the experts. The city will host a free fireworks display at Confederation Park starting at 10 p.m. If hosting friends or family, KFR reminds all residents that they must obtain a free open-air fire permit. Residents are required to read and comply with the full list of regulations. Service changes and scheduling impacts on Canada Day include garbage and green bin. There is no collection on Wednesday, July 1st. Collection occurs the day after your regular collection day. Sign up online to receive collection reminders by phone or email, or get the free Kingston Waste app on your Apple or Android device. Kingston Disposal Site 189 Lappin's Lane will be closed Wednesday, July 1st. Kingston Transit. Transit service will operate on a Sunday schedule on Wednesday, July 1st. During the scheduled lift of the LaSalle Causeway that day, Route 60 will offer transit routing between Fort Henry and King's Crossing via the Weyburn Crossing. Kingston Access Bus operates with limited service on Wednesday, July 1st. Call 613-542-2512 for information. Administrative offices are closed on Wednesday, July 1st. This includes Housing and Social Services and Provincial Offenses Court at 362 Montreal Street. Utilities Kingston and Kingston Hydro are closed on Wednesday, July 1st. Utilities Kingston customers experiencing a utility emergency, such as a gas leak, power outage, or water main break, can call the 24-hour emergency line at 613-546-1181. Access useful links and tips to prepare for statutory holiday closures at utilitieskingston.com, including information on holiday electricity pricing. For recreation facilities, the Invista Center, Artillery Park Aquatic Center, Rideau Heights Community Center, and Kingston East Community Center are all closed on Wednesday, July 1st. All branches of the Kingston Frontenac Public Library are also closed. Services and digital collections can be accessed online. Portsmouth Olympic Harbor and Confederation Basin marinas will remain open. The Kingston Grand Theater box office will be closed Saturday, June 27th, Sunday, June 27th, and Wednesday, July 1st. Tickets for all shows can be purchased online 24 hours a day at kingstongrand.ca. The Pump House Museum will be open on Wednesday, July 1st, as well as the Test Center for Creativity and Learning. And finally, know before you go, Municipal 511 Mapping provides road closure info across Kingston. Stay informed on any city road closures and find alternative routes by using the Municipal 511 app. An up-to-date map of road closures in Kingston can be found on the city's road closures page. Please note that Public Services and Procurement Canada wishes to advise the public that the LaSalle Causeway will be fully closed to vehicles, cyclists, and pedestrians on Wednesday, July 1st from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Once again, that was your guide to Canada Day in the city of Kingston coming up next Wednesday. Before we get into more local news, let's take a look at your weather and traffic reports for the rest of the week. Starting with a look at traffic around Kingston, in construction and delays, motorists on King Street West from Country Club Drive to Front Road can expect lane reductions as Utilities Kingston continues water and sanitary main installations. Drivers may also encounter delays on Bath Road between Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard and Portsmouth Avenue as crews install new pedestrian crossing signals. Work continues at the intersection of Montreal Street and John Counter Boulevard with road repairs, sidewalk work, landscaping, and line painting ongoing. Motorists should expect delays on Taylor Kidd Boulevard between Coronation Boulevard and Collins Bay Road as paving and road improvement work continues. And intermittent lane closures remain in effect on John Counter Boulevard between Portsmouth Avenue and Division Street through July 15th for maintenance work. In closures, Aberdeen Street between Johnson and William remains closed for construction staging, while Berry Street near Queen remains closed for work related to 283 Queen Street. Princess Street between Frontenac and Division remains closed as part of the city's major reconstruction project. Wright Crescent between Palace Road and Kingsland Crescent remains closed for roadway repairs and pedestrian safety improvements. Sydenham Street remains closed to through traffic between Princess and Queen for the Sydenham Street Community Space Project. John Street between Montreal Street and Bagot remains closed through July 31st for water and sanitary service upgrades. Norman Rogers Drive between Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard and Van Order Drive also remains closed for road rehabilitation and safety improvements. Looking ahead, the LaSalle Causeway will be fully closed on June 28th from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. to allow for the temporary opening of the Marine Navigation Channel. Once again, that closure is coming up this Sunday on the 28th. For FIFA-related events at Springer Market Square, King Street East between Brock and Clarence will be closed from Friday, June 26th through the morning of Sunday, June 28th, while Brock Street between Ontario and Wellington will be closed from June 27th through the morning of June 28th. And finally, Greenwood Park Drive will be closed on Saturday, June 27th from 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. for the annual Greenwood Park Drive Block Party. Now turning to your weather forecast, tonight remains cloudy with a 70% chance of showers and a risk of thunderstorms. Temperatures will stay fairly mild overnight with a low of 16 degrees. Friday brings mostly cloudy skies with a 30% chance of showers developing in the afternoon and a risk of thunderstorm. The high reaches 22 degrees, though it'll feel closer to 27 with the humidex. The UV index is 6, which is high. Friday night sees cloudy periods and a low of 14 degrees. Looking ahead to the weekend, Saturday brings a mix of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of showers and a high of 25 degrees. Skies clear Saturday night with a low of 14. Sunday is shaping up to be the pick of the weekend with plenty of sunshine and a high of 27 degrees. Clear skies continue Sunday night with temperatures dipping to 16. That's a wrap on your weather and traffic reports for the rest of the week. Now let's dive back into more local news. Starting off our second half of the show with another update from the City of Kingston, Arts, Recreation, and Community Policies Committee to consider next steps to redevelop Kingston Memorial Center. The City of Kingston is moving forward with its next phase in the proposal to expand and redevelop the Kingston Memorial Center facility, with community use at the heart of the long-term plans. A report will be presented tonight to the City's Arts and Recreation Community Policies Committee. Included in the report is a commitment from Queen's University to advance a long-term structured leasing agreement at an expanded and redeveloped facility, which is part of the city's broader multi-site visioning and capital planning initiative encompassing Center 70 and Portsmouth Olympic Harbor that expands recreation and opportunities for all Kingstonians. The Kingston Memorial Center Recreation Facility, located at 303 York Street in the center of the Williamsville neighborhood, has been a vital hub for community recreation and varsity sports since its construction in 1950. It has been home to Queen's University's men's and women's varsity hockey teams and recreational ice programming for students for nearly two decades. Through the proposed agreement, this would continue. In addition to ongoing support of community recreation programming and events, the redevelopment plans would include the potential for two NHL-sized ice pads, improved locker rooms and training areas, and enhanced spectator experiences. Amy L. Gersma, Director of Recreation and Leisure Services at the City of Kingston, says, quote, "We are excited to bring this opportunity to committee and council as part of the city's long-term planning for recreation infrastructure. Queen's University's interest presents a significant opportunity to explore a shared future for the Kingston Memorial Center," end quote. Queen's University Athletics and Recreation Executive Director Linda Melnick emphasized the strategic importance of the state-of-the-art shared facilities, stating, quote, "Since becoming primary tenants in 2008, Queen's Athletics and Recreation has valued the Memorial Center as a home for our student athletes and recreation program participants, as well as the broader Kingston community," end quote. Learn more about the outcomes of Phase 1 of the Memorial Center, Center 70, and Portsmouth Olympic Harbor Visioning Community Engagement in reports on the city's website. And be sure to stay tuned to CFRC's news programming for the latest. In another major update for the city, City of Kingston's Finds for Food pilot grows fresh produce for local food banks. The City of Kingston is expanding its Finds for Food pilot program by investing a portion of program funding into a modular vertical farm that allows fresh leafy greens year-round for partners in Mission Food Bank. Initially, funding through the Finds for Food program was distributed to local food organizations to help purchase food. Through this pilot expansion, a portion of those funds is now being directed toward local food production, creating a new source of fresh produce for community food programs while strengthening Kingston's food system. In 2023, KFLNA Public Health reported approximately 1 in 3 households in the KFLNA region with food insecurity, meaning they could not afford or buy the food they wanted or needed for good health. After this local data showed a sharp increase in food insecurity, Kingston City Council declared food insecurity an emergency in January 2025. Since then, partners in Mission Food Bank has continued to see growing demand for support, recording a 25% increase in food bank usage in 2026. The demographics are also changing. 19.6% of food bank clients are employed, up from 7% in 2019. As part of its food framework and strategic plan, the City of Kingston sought solutions that could provide immediate relief while also building long-term food system resilience. Food production was identified as a key pillar, leading the city to partner with Grocer Fund through a farm-as-service model. Through the pilot, $80,000 in annual parking fine revenue is supporting the operation of a 40-foot vertical farm that produces fresh leafy greens year-round for local food programs. Fresh, perishable food is the hardest for community organizations to source consistently. Located at Modern Niagara's facility at 945 Princess Street, the vertical farm occupies roughly the space of two parking spots and grows nutritious leafy greens such as spinach, romaine lettuce, and pak choi year-round. By growing them locally, the City of Kingston gives local food organizations access to the most in-demand produce year-round, without the spoilage, cost fluctuation, or supply chain guesswork. Mayor Brian Patterson says, quote, "Food insecurity is one of the most urgent challenges facing our community, and it requires both immediate support and longer-term system change. Through the city's food framework and the Fines for Food pilot, we are using an innovative partnership-based approach to help local organizations provide fresh, nutritious food while strengthening Kingston's local food system. This does not replace the need to address the root causes of food insecurity or income-based solutions, but it is a practical way the city can help residents now and build resilience for the future." The Partners in Mission Food Bank runs a 4,000-square-foot grocery store model for its clients, stocking items like milk, cheese, meat, and now fresh greens grown right in town. Over the past 8 months, even throughout the winter, the vertical farm has grown 3,900 pounds of fresh produce for the food bank. Executive Director of Partners in Mission Food Bank, Dan Irwin, says, quote, "Everyone loves it. I come from a small farm. When you have food this fresh, I was never worried about people not loving it. What you pictured as a food bank in 1984 is not correct today. People think we're just donated food, damaged cans with nothing fresh. But we're working to get the top quality produce available for all of our clients, and we now run more like a grocery store," end quote. The local food initiative is supported by a combination of the Fines for Food funding and RBC support. A portion of the $1.5 million donation by RBC to the Food Resiliency Foundation Fund, a grocer donor-advised fund at Ottawa Community Foundation, supports Partners in Mission Food Bank's operation of the farm, allowing them to meet the client demand for fresh food. Misconceptions around food banks can hinder those in need of support. Irwin says, quote, "We introduced our shopping model a little over a year ago so our clients can choose what they want, including fresh produce. I hope it reduces stigma for the people who did not want to come or thought they'd just be getting a food hamper. Volunteers tell me all the time that they love how fresh the greens are and how fresh they smell. And they've heard our clients say how they love the produce and how expensive it is to purchase at regular grocery stores. Volunteers tell me all the time that they love how fresh the greens are, and they've heard our clients say how they love the produce and how expensive it is to purchase at the regular grocery store. Clients also appreciate the added variety the greens add to our selection," end quote. The city will continue to monitor the pilot's impact, including produce grown, household served, distribution partners, operating learnings, and opportunities to strengthen Kingston's local food system. Once again, that was an update directly from the City of Kingston on the unique Fines for Food pilot program. Kingston Fire and Rescue has announced a new deputy chief. Kingston Fire and Rescue is pleased to announce that Mike Keeley has been appointed deputy fire chief. KFR Fire Chief Kevin Donaldson says, quote, "Deputy Keeley is an accomplished fire service professional who has dedicated more than three decades to advancing fire and life safety and emergency response in Kingston. He will excel in his new role and continue to serve the city well," end quote. Deputy Keeley has extensive fire service experience, having served with KFR for the past 31 years. Throughout his career, he has progressed through the ranks, serving as a firefighter, captain, and most recently, platoon chief, a position he was promoted to in 2014. Deputy Keeley holds a bachelor's degree in science, a diploma in public policy analysis, and a certificate in fire service leadership, in addition to numerous fire service certifications and diplomas, reflecting his lifelong commitment to professional development and excellence. Chief Donaldson adds, quote, "These qualifications, combined with decades of practical experience spanning several areas of the fire service, have prepared Mike well for the responsibilities of Deputy Fire Chief. As Deputy Fire Chief, he will play a key role in the strategic initiatives and advancement of programs as KFR continues to provide service delivery excellence." Deputy Keeley will assume the role on July 20th, 2026. The role of the Deputy Fire Chief was previously held by Chief Donaldson, who was announced as Fire Chief in March 2026. Before we wrap up this evening, I'm going to run through your weekend forecast, a roundup of just some of the events Kingston has to offer to finish off your week. If you're looking to head out after tonight's show wraps up, things get started at 6 p.m. with 20-something Thursday trivia night at the Kingston-Frontenac Public Library's Central Branch. At 6:45, Cruise for a Cause departs from Crawford Wharf. Then at 7 p.m., trivia fans have plenty of options with music trivia at Something in the Water Brewing, trivia night at Riverhead Brewing, and music trivia night at La Vida Bistro. Later this evening, karaoke begins at Jersey's at 8:30 and The Buckle at 9. Also at dusk, Springer Market Square hosts a free outdoor screening of The Greatest Showman. At 9 p.m., best-selling author David A. Robertson will present Culture in Action, Storytelling, Anxiety, and Resilience at Chernoff Hall. The night wraps up with the weekly urban music social at La Vida Bistro Bar starting at 9:30. Friday begins with meditation in the gallery at Cultivate Arts Commons at 10 a.m. In the evening, the library after-hours summer kickoff party for teens takes place at the Isabel Turner Branch at 5 p.m. At 7 p.m., the Tet Center hosts the Jarena Lee Studio Exhibition and Artist Talk, while Trivia Night gets underway at Wild Wings Kingston. Daft Brewing hosts a burlesque show at 8 p.m., and karaoke takes over both The Buckle and Daft Brewing beginning at 9 p.m. Saturday starts bright and early with the Kingston Public Market at Springer Market Square opening at 8:30 a.m., open until 5 p.m. At 10 a.m., visitors can browse the Gananoque Craft Market at Town Hall or head to the Charbert Lake Farmers Market at Charbert Lake Beach. In the afternoon, Books and Beans Pride Edition begins at the Central Branch at KFPL at 1:30, followed by the Your Mark Echoing from Within Art Workshop at the Tet Center at 2 p.m. From 4 p.m. until 9 p.m., La Vida Bistro Bar hosts its Beyond 30 Day Party, celebrating music from the 80s and 90s. The evening wraps up with line dancing at The Buckle from 7 until 8 p.m. Sunday begins with the Memorial Center Farmers Market from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. Confederation Park hosts the Cataraqua Indigenous Market from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m., featuring Indigenous artists, makers, and vendors. Later in the day, Puppies and Jazz takes place at the Caesar Company from 5 until 8 p.m. And finally, the weekend closes out with karaoke at The Merchant and The Toucan, both beginning at 9 p.m. on Sunday. That's a wrap on your weekend forecast. Once again, that's just some of the events coming up this weekend in the region. Be sure to head to cfrc.ca for our full events and concerts listings. If you have an event or concert you'd like to add to our online or on-air calendar, reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. That is all things current in Kingston for this week. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming, brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. To revisit episodes and listen on the go, head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.